Hello and welcome to the First Impressions podcast. My name's Chris John Riley, and together with my co-host Martin McKay, we'll be talking to presenters at the upcoming FIRST conference taking place in Denver, Colorado between June 14th and 19th, 2026. We look forward to seeing you at the conference, and now we join our interview in progress.
Hello, this is Martin, and today I am talking to John Hollenberger from Fortinet. And your talk was Chaos Stack. I'm not going to go through the stuff after the colon, but you were talking about tabletop exercises and kind of a different way of looking at them, a different way of putting people through the ringer. Would you mind telling us what Chaos Stack is?
Yeah, sure. So Chaos Stack tabletop exercises, essentially it's just another way to look at a tabletop exercise. So instead of it being more of a linear exercise, which tends to be a little less stressful, where you're talking from one inject, you're staying on that topic for 15, 20 minutes, getting to a defined conclusion and moving forward to the next inject. In Chaos Stack, we're actually stacking the chaos up front. So we're stacking the injects up front. So having three or four injects coming at the organization or at the team in, say, 10 to 20 minutes. And those are going to be stacking competing priorities. So inject one might be something like, we've got a network outage from the phone systems, which by and large is really just going to be maybe an IT problem or communications problem. But then we, 5 minutes later, we put an inject out that now all of our systems are starting to show signs of encryption. 5 minutes after that, 10 minutes after that, executive wants to know, can we still operate? So we're bringing those injects forward early on as opposed to spreading them out. That way it adds that stress to the scenario, adds that more realistic feel to it, where we have a lot of information coming at us at once.
So in what we're looking at is an enormous tabletop exercise. We may have one major issue that's coming, and there will be aspects of that coming along through the rest of the conversation, the rest of the exercise.
Correct.
But in what you're explaining, it's like really front-loading everything into that and just creating a lot of chaos, and obviously by the title, but also that stress on the people involved. Is the real goal there is to just simulate the stress that they would feel in a real-world environment?
Yeah, the primary goal really is to get that stress going for the organization, so that the team can learn how to manage that stress. And we can learn how the team works together while under that stressful scenario, as opposed to learning that during a real crisis. So we can actually see how the team works under pressure.
Now, do you keep adding additional layers throughout the whole exercise, or are you kind of getting that front loading going and then letting them catch up?
Yeah, so yes, the second. So really front loading every 5 to 10 minutes, having 3 to 4 injects. So, minute 5 is inject, or minute 0 is inject 1, 5 to 10 minutes later is inject 2, 5 to 10 minutes later is inject 3, maybe inject 4 after that, but then letting the team talk through and discuss the scenario. So the pressure really is up front. We're overwhelming them a bit. We're overwhelming the mind with lots of information, lots of decisions need to be made. And the team really just needs to prioritize how they're going to handle that after all that chaos up front.
And what does the team get out of this? What do the people who are actually going through the exercise get out of doing it so differently?
Yeah, so a few things. First and foremost, teamwork and learning to work together under pressure. Depending on the organization, they may not have been through a cybersecurity incident before, which if that's the case, they're lucky. They're the lucky ones. But we need to know how the team's going to work under pressure and how each person's going to react. Everyone responds to stress a little bit differently. So this allows us to really learn about each other and build relationship first and foremost. It then allows us to focus on where our gaps are in our organization still. So we're still looking at the gaps. We're just looking at them a little bit differently. So the goal of the scenario is really to still find those gaps within organizations, people, processes, and technology. We're just adding a little bit of chaos to it.
But a lot of the scenarios I've been in, you really 5 to 10 minutes isn't even necessarily enough to get that first round of feedback that you need to make those decisions. So what is that? What impact does that have on the decision making?
Yeah, so it is going to potentially speed things up or slow them down. So in some cases, and this is where it's helpful to see how the decision is going to be made. Are we going to make a decision too hastily, or are we going to pause and reflect on that information? So by having all that information come at us up front, it then causes us to either panic and make quick decisions, or alternatively, we can take a step back, observe what's going on. If you know the OODA loop by John Boyd, we can observe, orient,
decide,
and then act. So we can make a decision based on what we're actually seeing, and then act. So it actually teaches us to slow down a bit as well.
Now, one of the things you were talking about, which I think is common in a lot of these, is using that decision-making and the consequences. You talked about how if somebody didn't make the decision quickly enough to shut off the domain controllers from the web and other servers, the next step, the next inject would be, now you've got a compromised domain controller. How much extra effort does it take to sort of set that up? And how much effect does it have on the entire scenario from your point of view?
Yeah, in terms of setup, when you're setting up the scenario, you need to think about some of those if-then type statements that might occur. I always like to maybe set up 2 or 3 that are more realistic to happen. You know, slow to escalate is one. So if things are slow to escalate, if the right people aren't brought in, you know, then this happens. And then if we don't isolate properly, you know, then this happens. So there are some common ones that you can kind of run with a lot of the time. Or, for example, the organizations decide to just wipe and rebuild without collecting memory or collecting anything. And they restore without checking the backups. In that case, well, we just restored threat actor access. So there's some things that you can, you know, in the back of your head, hey, these are likely to come up, and so we can plan for that, add slides in for those. The other recommendation would really be just have a blank slide that we can just add a few bullets to real quick and pop them up to the screen if we need to pivot quickly.
Now, personally, I'm a D&D player, and I look at this as, hey, you're the GM. Do you ever draw inspiration from something like that of gaming, or is this strictly from the past in security?
No, I really enjoy being creative and building a scenario. So I love the Dungeons and Dragons references. Brings back childhood memories. But really just like to look to see first. I use MITRE ATT&CK a lot. So, you know, what are the threat actors that might target a specific region or a specific industry? And then taking some of the information from that threat actor, the TTPs they might use, to start building out a scenario that's relevant and realistic for the organization, but also adding, you know, some twists and turns along the way, and just kind of planning for that stuff along the way as well.
Adding more chaos. Yeah.
Yes.
So for the people who couldn't be here today for your talk, what is one thing you want them to understand about tabletop exercises and injecting more chaos into them?
We need to prepare our teams to decide and really act under pressure. Some of the areas I feel like that we're failing as instructors, as teachers, is not necessarily being as realistic as we could be during these scenarios. Stress is one of the big things that happens during incident response, decision fatigue. You know, our brains start to shut down. Everyone acts a little bit differently. You know, there's some people might freeze. Some people might fight. You know, freeze, fight, flight, fawn. Everyone's going to act differently. And so by adding stress to these situations, to these scenarios, we can not only learn about ourselves, but about our team, and hopefully react better if and when a real situation happens.
Well, John, thank you for taking a couple minutes to talk to me, and have a great trip home.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the First Impressions podcast, the official podcast of the FIRST Conference. The upcoming FIRST Conference is taking place in Denver, Colorado, between June 14th and 19th. Looking forward to seeing you there.